Chapter 3. Stand with me as we read these words to Christ as He explains to Nicodemus the simplicity of salvation. How simple it truly is. Beginning in verse 11, Jesus says those words, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify to that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, God, that You will speak through me. God, that Your words would be heard and that my words would be invisible. God, that You would increase and I would decrease. God, that Your word would be proclaimed. God, that this morning that believers, that those who already know You would be reminded of the simplicity of salvation. God, that our neighbors, our co-workers need to hear so desperately. God, that You have made salvation so simple. God, if there's one here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, I pray today that they would realize that they're lost, that they're undone. God, that they need to know Him personally, and they would realize how simple that Christ has made salvation. And we'll give You the glory for what You accomplish in this building, for it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Nicodemus is standing with a confused look on his face. He has asked Jesus, what do You mean I have to be born again? How can I possibly be reborn? I can't go back to my mother's womb and be born again. I don't understand it, Jesus. I don't understand what You're talking about. And so help me, Lord. I really want to understand it. And you've piqued my curiosity, and I want to know what it is exactly You're talking about. I want to see the kingdom of God. Yes, You say that the only way to see the kingdom of God is to be born again, and that's what I want, Lord. I want to see the kingdom of God. I just don't understand what that means to be born again. And so, Lord, help me to understand that. And so now, Christ is going to elaborate even further again on the simplicity of salvation. Nicodemus, verily, verily, pay attention. It's not as complicated as you're making it. It's not as difficult to understand as you're making it. We know that in another place, Christ says what? Then we come to Him as children. He says, I've made it that simple, Nicodemus. And so you need to understand some things. It really is that simple. And the first thing that that Christ does for Nicodemus is he helps him to understand and helps us to understand an important principle about the idea of salvation. When Nicodemus understands and hears this divide that Jesus is going to show. When we look in that verse, there's a couple of really small words that we almost run over. There's some big words in there that we pay attention to, but there's some small ones in there that are extremely important. Jesus says there in that verse, we speak of what we have known and what we have seen. We speak of what we have known and what we have seen, but ye, you don't understand it. And so I want you to understand, first of all, in that verse, something that is really important about understanding the simplicity of salvation. Jesus does something there that, again, it's easy to overlook. He says, we speak of what we have seen and what we have heard and what we have known. We speak of those things. We speak of those things. Who is Christ talking about when he says we? Well, obviously, he's talking about, first of all, himself. When I don't know if you ever heard anybody make those kind of... A lot of people make we statements. You ever heard anybody make we statements? We need to clean up the house. We need to mow the yard. You know, and guys, I don't know if you've noticed that, but a lot of times when your wife says, we need to do something... Yeah, there's no we to it. There's no we about it. But Jesus is talking about we. We, he's talking about, I believe in this case, he's talking about he and his followers, his disciples. I believe he's talking about God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit as one. We speak of what we have seen and what we know. That's what we're talking about. But you don't. You see what happens very subtly if you're not paying attention. Very simply, Jesus explains something that lays something out for us that is of the utmost importance for us to understand this morning about the simplicity of salvation. Jesus says, there is we and there is ye. There are two sides and two sides alone. Jesus says, we speak of what we have seen and what we know, and we're talking about those things, but you don't get it. You don't receive our witness. One of the things that you need to hear clearly about salvation this morning is what Jesus says in that simple verse. When he says, we speak, but you don't. He doesn't say, we speak, but you, and you don't understand it. Jesus makes very clear, I believe in this verse, there are two sides. There are only two sides. I've talked about this before. In our world today, we are more divided than we have ever been. We are divided in countless ways. We are divided by race. We are divided by nationality. We are divided by income. We are divided by where we live. We are divided by everything imaginable. We are divided by the kind of diet you're on. You're a vegetarian. I'm at the top of the food chain. So I eat the meat. You eat the lettuce. You know, we're divided in all these ways, but Jesus says when push comes to shove, when it comes down to the end of things, there are only two groups. There are those who, he says, are for me, and there are those who are against me. There are those who are in the light and those who are in the dark. At another place, the Bible says there are those who are alive and there are those who are dead. You can't be partly dead. You can't be almost dead. Being partly dead is like being partly pregnant. It's just not a possibility. And so Jesus says here that there are those who are alive in Him and those who are dead in sin. There are the we and there are the ye. And the church of Jesus Christ, even those today who know Christ as their Savior, need to get their heads around that concept. We need to wrap our minds and get that through our thick skulls that there are the we and there are the ye. We have kind of bought into this mindset that the New Age movement and the culture today that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. You just got to be committed to something. Well, I've shared with you before that the numbers say that even among those who claim Jesus Christ is their personal Lord and Savior, less than half of them believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. You talk about a brain teaser. I can't get my mind around that. That people who have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation don't believe that, over half of them don't believe that He is the only way of salvation. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And yet, we have that. But Christ makes it clear in this verse, and something that you and I need to understand, and we need to start practicing, is that as we go out into the culture, as we go out into the marketplace, as we go out into our neighborhoods and our communities, over half the people we come into contact with, are in the ye crowd. They're in the lost crowd. They don't know Jesus Christ personally. And because of that, they are lost and on their way to hell. There's no way to clean that story up. There's no need to clean that story up. The reality is that over half of our population is lost and on their way to hell. If I go to the doctor's office and I've got cancer, I don't want the doctor to come in and give me a bottle of Mercurochrome. Some of y'all don't even know. Some of y'all not old enough to remember Mercurochrome. I don't want him to come in and give me a bottle of Mercurochrome and say everything will be all right. I want him to tell me the diagnosis, and I want him to tell me what I need to do to treat the disease. And my point this morning is to make it clear the church needs to understand that the disease is sin and the cure is Jesus Christ. There is no middle ground. There is no good. There's none righteous, the Bible says. There's none good. And the church itself, believers, we've got to get our heads, we've got to accept that fact. I know this morning, I know pretty much everybody in here well enough to know that if I was to go around and I was to take you by the hand and say, what is the only way to salvation? I believe I'd get 100% in here. Every one of them will say, Jesus Christ. But I also know we don't act like it. We may say it, but we don't act like it. Because if we believed truly in our heart that Jesus Christ was the only way of salvation, we'd be standing on the rooftop screaming it. Instead of sitting back twiddling our thumbs while our neighbors die and go to hell. Now, I'm just going to tell you up front, Archie's done been here once. If you come to be patted on the head, you better go on to the house. Because it's time for the church to realize that our world is falling apart around us. It wasn't part of my original plan, but it fit at 8:30, so you're getting it too. I want to tell you something. I'm sick to my stomach of hearing people talk about school shootings, and what we need are more gun laws, and we need more mental health issues, and we need all this, and we need guards at the school, and we need fences. What we need is a good dose of Jesus Christ. Because the problem is not mental health. The problem is not guns. The problem is sin. And that's not just the problem in school shootings. That's the problem in divorce. That's the problem in child abuse. That's the problem in bankruptcy. That's the problem. And there is but one cure. Jesus makes it simple in this statement. He says, we speak of what we have known, and you don't get it. There's only two sides. There's not those that are almost good enough. There's not, again, I've pointed this out before. Go to the funeral home. I take the paper today, blindfold, and pick an obituary. Show up at the funeral home, and I guarantee you, it was a good guy, good woman. She loved her family. He worked hard. Guarantee you. You had never been to a funeral where they stood up and said, this guy's a scoundrel. Yeah. This guy was rotten to the core. Yeah. It doesn't happen. Everybody's a good guy. No, there's only two sides. You're either saved or you're not. You've either been born again or you haven't. Jesus says to Nicodemus, there's a divide. See, the problem was, Nicodemus came to Jesus, and this really would have cut Nicodemus to the heart, because Nicodemus was just a different version of 2018. Nicodemus was a Sanhedrin, member of the Sanhedrin, a member of the high court. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, an interpreter, an enforcer of the law. He was a Jew who fought, because I am of my father Abraham, I'm up here and everybody else is down here. And he comes to Jesus expecting to be patted on the head, and said, Nicodemus, you're a good guy, keep up the good work. And Jesus looked him in the eye and said, unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Listen, the truth of the matter is today, we have bought into Satan's lie that if you go to church, if you give, if you sing, if you teach, if you preach, if you do this, if you do that, you're all right, you're a good guy. As long as you provide for your family, as long as you go to work, as long as you do this, as long as you do that. But the Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to pull her head out of the sand and realize that our friends and neighbors are going to hell because we haven't told them there is a we and there is a ye. There is no middle ground. We've tried to tell them come to church. We've tried to tell them you just need to pray. You just need to go to Sunday school. You need to read your Bible. Now, that's good, and that may be something you do later. But what this world needs is the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus, do better, try harder, give more, go to the tabernacle more. He looked at him square in the eye, one of the most religious men, one of the most well-respected men in Jerusalem, and said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again, because you are either with me or you're against me. That simple. And there is a great divide in our world. That divide has not changed. That divide is no different today than it was 2,000 years ago on the streets of Jerusalem. The same divide exists. There may be a lot. You go into on the computer and you type in world religions, and if you want to be religious, today is the day. You can be religious today in whatever form. You can find a religion that worships chihuahuas. You can find a religion that worships brown shoes. You can find a religion that worships dogwood trees. You can find a religion that worships the moon. You name it, there's a religion out there for you. And Jesus says you can belong to every one of them. And you're still one of the ye if you have not been born again. It's not about how religious you are. It's not about what you've given or what you do. It's about who you know. There is a divide that has not changed since Jesus met with Nicodemus. The we and the ye. We need to understand that. We need to get that. Listen, the church needs to understand that. You need to understand that this morning if you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm in church, I'm good, I'm all right. I gave some money when they passed the offering plate a while ago. When they sang, I sang along with them. I tapped my foot. I'm going to shake the preacher's hand when I go out. That's great. But have you been born again? Because Jesus Christ says to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. The we and the ye. We can divide up all we want to, but the reality is Jesus Christ says there's only two divisions that matter. You can be rich and you can be lost. You can be poor and you can be born again. The reality is there's only two divisions that really matter. There's only two, the we and the ye, the sheep and the goats. There's only two. Folks, we need to understand this morning, we need to recognize and realize that roughly, according to depending on who you believe, at a minimum, half the people you come into contact with are lost. At a minimum. Most people would say it's closer to two-thirds, and many would say it's even closer to three-fourths. That 75% of the people you come into contact with. You do that today when you go out of this building. When you go out, when you leave here and you go to lunch, don't do this out loud. It may get you smacked. But you walk along and you go, lost, 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 saved. Lost, 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 saved. And you just let that number sink in your head. The church needs to be acting like there's only two groups. And doing everything we can to make a difference. There is a great divide. But not only is there a divide shown, notice in the next verse as he moves on, because of that divide, there's a difficulty stated. Nicodemus, the we and the ye. And Christ then says to him here in that next verse, he says, you don't understand the earthly things I'm saying to you. Then you certainly don't understand the heavenly things. Well, I think that's a lesson almost as much for us today as it is for Nicodemus. I want to remind you something that happened before these verses. Christ says in this verse, Nicodemus, you don't understand what I'm saying to you. But do you remember how Nicodemus started this conversation back in verse 1? Remember what he said back there? If you go back to verse 1 and how this story started, in verse 2 actually, it says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher. How does he say we know you're a teacher? Because no man can do the miracles you've done except God be with him. You see what happens? Before Nicodemus ever says, Jesus, I want to hear what you got to say, he reveals to us, I've been watching what you do. I've been watching what you do. Before he ever went to Jesus and said one word to him, before he ever went and asked him a single question, he says, we've been watching you. And we know there's something different about you because of the miracles you have done. Can I suggest to you this morning another change that the church needs to make, that believers need to make today in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? In sharing the gospel and telling people they've got to be born again? We need to start acting like we've been born again. That's what we need to do. Before we're so busy telling the world you need to repent and be born again, we need to start showing the world we've repented and been born again. Because I'm going to tell you something, the world doesn't care anywhere near as much what we say as what we do. Why was Nicodemus willing to give an audience? Why was he desiring an audience and a conversation with Jesus Christ? Why did they ever get to the point where Jesus could look at him and say, "You must be born again"? Because Jesus had already been walking the walk, and Nicodemus had seen him and watched him, and he was curious about what it was that made him different. Folks, I'm telling you today that salvation really is simple. One of the simplest things we can do is model it. One of the simplest things we can do to bring people to Jesus Christ is to make it look inviting, to make it look life-changing. See, if you just start, you tell me, how effective do you think it will be? And if you want to try this, I'm going to go tomorrow. I'll go with you. I want to watch. If you just go up to the mall this afternoon and just start walking up and down the halls of the mall, and as you come into contact with people, just walk up to them and shake their hand and go, "You must be born again." What do you think of that? What do you think would happen? Huh? You think you'd get thrown out? Yeah, you might get thrown out. You might get punched in the throat. How many converts do you think you'd make with that style? I'm not saying it couldn't happen. God can do amazing things. There may be someone there who just will tell me more. Yeah, maybe. I'm not saying it can't happen. God can do great and marvelous things beyond my imagination. But just in general speaking, how effective do you think that'd be? Just walk through the mall, and everybody come in, walk up and say, "If you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again." Just look at them. Give them like Jesus. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again." How effective do you think that'd be? Obviously not very, because you haven't done it yet. If you thought it was effective, you'd be on the way. Yeah. If you thought it was effective, you'd already be there. How effective do you think it would be for you and I to go into work and live like we've been born again? How effective do you think it will be when we go in front of our family and our friends and live? What does Paul say? Be ready to give a reason of the hope, the lively hope that is within us. A hope that the world can see. A hope that others can see. Listen, what this world needs is to see Christians, lo and behold, acting like Christians. What a novel thought. What a novel idea. For those that have been born again to actually act like they've been born again. For those that are planning on seeing the kingdom of God to actually live and act like they are a part of the kingdom of God. It's not complicated. Our friends and neighbors, our co-workers want to see us live what we tell them they ought to do. Rhonda gets mad at me sometimes. We'll go in a restaurant, and I don't exactly know what they got to serve there, and I'll just look at the waiter and say, "What do you eat here?" "Yeah." "What do you eat here?" "Yeah." "Well," it makes me nervous when they start saying, "Well, I don't eat much." "Well, then it's time to go." Yeah. Makes me nervous when I go in a restaurant, and I see the people that run the restaurant come out of the kitchen with a bag from another place. That makes me a little anxious. Yeah. Listen, the world wants to see us with a bag out of the kitchen. They want to see us acting like we've been born again. It really is that simple. Notice what Jesus says to Nicodemus. He says there's a great divide. But Nicodemus, you see the difference. You see something. You need to follow it. Then he shows us, in this next verse, he says the divinity that is shared. Now, this verse has caused a lot of confusion, a lot of debate. If you pick up 12 commentaries on this verse, you'll get 13 or 14 different explanations. But it really is simple as well. Look what it says. It says, in the context of what it says, Jesus told Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you don't understand everything, but Nicodemus, look what he says to it. Nicodemus, no man's ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. You know what Nicodemus, what Christ is telling Nicodemus? Nicodemus, I know what I'm talking about. You're not hearing this from some stranger. You're not hearing this, reading this on the bathroom wall somewhere. The one that is talking to you, no man has ascended to heaven but the one that came down from heaven. Well, who came down from heaven? Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ looks at Nicodemus and he said, Nicodemus, here it is. It's simple. You must be born again. Listen. You're not hearing this from the priest. You're not hearing, sitting here this morning, that's not my words. I didn't make that up. I would have never in a million years thought up or used the terminology, you must be born again. That's not my words. That's not something I thought up. Folks, that came straight from here. That came from the mouth of Jesus Christ Himself. I think it's so important when we read this and see this that this wasn't one of the disciples proclaiming this. This wasn't one of the Old Testament prophets. This was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came down from heaven, who got Nicodemus by the coattails and said, Nicodemus, you can't be religious enough, Nicodemus. You can't give enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't provide for your... You can't be a good man enough. Nicodemus, you must be born again. That didn't come from some secondhand source. That doesn't need a footnote like in a term paper. That came straight from the throne of God. From the throne of God to the Son of God, the Word of God. You must be born again. And this morning that word has not changed. And if you're sitting here and you're relying on your good works, you're relying on your parents, you're relying on your pedigree, you're relying on your resume, you're relying on the fact that your name shows up on the nominating committee report 7 or 8 times because you do 7 or 8 jobs, you're going to bust hell wide open. Jesus says very plainly, you must be born again. Not me, not the deacons, not the Sunday school teachers, not Matthew, not Mark, not Luke, not John, not Paul, but Jesus Christ Himself. Says, I came from heaven to tell you one simple fact. You must be born again. He didn't say you got to go to church, you got to tithe, you got to pray. No. He made it clear. There's the we and there's the ye. And if you want to be part of the we, you must be born again. I like how Jesus says that. When He says ye must be born again, He doesn't say we must be born again. He doesn't say y'all must be born again. You guys must be born again. He looks Nicodemus in the eye and says, Nicodemus, you. The Sanhedrin can't do this as a group. It's not because you're a Jew. It's not because you're a Pharisee. It's not because you're a Baptist. It's not because you're on the deacon board. It's not because you're a Sunday school teacher. But Nicodemus, you. And I've just got in my mind, I wasn't there, but I've got in my mind that Jesus took His finger and just put it right under Nicodemus' nose and said, you must be born again. Remember those old Uncle Sam commercials that says, we want you? You must be born again. I believe at that moment Jesus' finger probably looked this long. You must be born again. One simple message this morning. The simplicity of salvation is that. You must be born again. There is no other way to see heaven. No other way. And then Jesus takes one final step to lay it out clearly and plainly in front of Nicodemus' face when He gives him the design. He referenced something that Nicodemus would have been extremely familiar with. When He said, Nicodemus, here it is. You didn't understand. You're struggling with the concept of being born again. Some of you sitting here this morning may be in that very shape. You may be in that very situation. You may be sitting here this morning and you say, Jimmy, I don't get it. I want to see the kingdom of God. I want to go to heaven, but I just can't get my... I just don't understand what... I'm like Nicodemus. How can I be born again? Well, Jesus takes one final approach when he says this. He says, Nicodemus... And again, Nicodemus would have been very familiar with this story. You may know this story as well. Back in the Exodus, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, because of their sin, because they had gotten wicked, God allowed serpents to come into the camp. And those serpents began to bite the children of Israel, and they began to die. Moses pleaded with God. God gave him a solution. He gave him an answer. He told Moses to build a brass serpent and lift it up onto a pole. And that when someone was bitten by one of those serpents, they could look to that serpent and they'd be healed. Now some of you may be sitting here and beginning to put a few things together and you say, wait a minute, why would they lift up a brass serpent? Isn't that kind of like an idol or... Isn't that kind of a odd thing? Why would God have them look to a brass serpent? I want you to think for a moment. Why were they in the predicament they were in? Because they had serpents in the camp. Why did they have serpents in the camp? Because of their sin. And so when God tells Moses, lift up the brass serpent, it was a reminder, and it was an acknowledgement on their part. When they would look up and they would look to that brass serpent, when they would look up at it, it was a reminder and a statement of their sin. It was their sin. They were acknowledging, they were admitting our sin. It is our sin that brought the serpents here. We've got to acknowledge our sin to be healed. Flash forward 2,000 years or so, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, just like that serpent was lifted up, he said, the Son of Man must also be lifted up. The Bible says what? That when Jesus was put on that cross, he was made sin. Our sin was put on him. Nicodemus, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you've got to look at Jesus Christ as the bearer of your sin. You've got to acknowledge and confess your position as a sinner. You must be born again. You can't be much simpler with salvation than Jesus was with Nicodemus. There's two sides. You're either a child of God, you've either been saved, you've either been born again, or not. That didn't come from a preacher. That didn't come from a teacher. That didn't come from a denominational meeting. That came straight from the throne of God Himself. And the only way to see heaven is by acknowledging your sin. Confessing that sin. When we confess that sin, he says he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. It doesn't get any clearer. It doesn't get any plainer. I'd like to ask you to bow your heads this morning. And as I said, there's only two groups. And I want to talk to both of those groups for just a moment. There are the we, and there are the ye. There are those that have been born again, and those who have not. You can divide up any other way you want to. But ultimately, there are but two groups. Those that have been born again, and those who have not. This morning, if you would say, Jimmy, I know, beyond any question, beyond any doubt, with no fear, no hesitation, no reservation, I know that I have been born again. No doubt. No fear. I know I have been born again.